Hey, we're gonna jump into this really fast, and we're gonna read from Mark 2:12, and so it's gonna be up on the screen, and I'm gonna have to buzz through this because I don't want to keep you long today. And so it's amazing because if you can turn to those verses, it's Mark 2 through 12, and it's here's what's cool. It says this is talking about Jesus in the church, and it says they gather in such large numbers that there is no room left, not even outside the door. So here's what's happening. Jesus is inside this building, and he's inside this room, and miracles are happening, and he's talking, and everybody wants to get in and just to see the Messiah. People are just curious. They want to see him, and it says that not even outside the door, he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. So think about that, like on a stretcher or on a, what do they build? And they built this thing. They carried this paralyzed man. So four men in each corner carrying this man. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now think of, I just want you to picture this. The hot Mediterranean sun. No air conditioning, no nothing. Blazing hot. Jesus is inside this building. They're trying to get in. So these four guys take a paralyzed guy. Can you just imagine that? All, you know what I'm saying, idea. Hey, we can't get indoors, so let's rip off the roof. Like, that's, like, crazy. And so these four guys, and if you know anything about leftovers, all that kind of stuff, think about that. And this is, like, hot Mediterranean sun. They start ripping it off, and that dust, you know when you're just sweaty and you get dirty or you just stuff, you're just like, that feels gross? Can you imagine the irritation when you're standing with sitting with Jesus and you're sweaty and it's hot and, like, stuff is falling on you? Like, think about that. You're just like, who's doing this? And all of a sudden it says that it was opened up, and it says, open the roof. Jesus was digging through it, and then it says, and they were digging through it, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man paralyzed, sons, your sins are forgiven. I think that is the most amazing thing. He doesn't say, hey, paralyzed man, you're healed. He first says to a paralyzed man, which is, can I just say, is really interesting, because think about this. Because we always talk about sins of, don't be doing this. Don't be doing that. Don't murder. Don't do this. Don't do this. I'm like thinking, dude, he's paralyzed. His sins are just here. He really can't do anything. It's kind of like he's just sitting there. And so Jesus does the greatest miracle in the world, and he heals his heart. Think about that. No doctor can do that. When you have stuff in your heart, junk in your heart, and God says your sins are forgiven and you're healed. And he says, and this is, now it goes on and says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, what does this fellow talk like that? Why is Jesus saying, he's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart. So he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say? To say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And verse 12, he got up, took his mat, walked out with full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Every Sunday morning during our prayer time, pre-service prayer time with our volunteers, I tell everybody the same thing. Today, what you do is so important for volunteers, for kids, for greeting, for worship, for everything. Because every time we serve, every time we love, we are like these friends who literally rip off the roof and lower people in front of Jesus so they can roof, so someone can see the love of the Lord. And so these friends built a mat, they ripped off the roof, and they put him before Jesus. So the question I had today is, who will build a mat? Who would you build a mat for? Who would you rip off the roof for? And who needs to see Jesus better? It's interesting because of all these things, I come to this. Does Jesus heal? Yes, he does. Does he heal body? Yes, he does. Does he do this kind of stuff? Yeah, I believe it. But here's what I'm telling you. The greatest healing in the entire world is when somebody has a heart change. It's interesting to me because I really believe, I love, one of my favorite verses in Scripture is 1 Corinthians 5:14, and it says this, for Christ's love compels. Think about that. For Christ's love compels. What does that even mean to us? For Christ's love compels. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. Now think about that. It says that Christ's love compels, that Christ's love compels us to surrender. Christ's love compels us, you know what I'm saying, to forgive, to love, to be better, you know what I'm saying, to be loved. And I'm telling you, love breaks through, love opens up, love restores, and love always finds a way to win. Always. Love compels. And this is what I want to share about this. Can you put that picture up of the cross of love compels and just leave it there? I want you to see this for a second. Because this is how I want us really to close today. I want us to think about the picture of this in our minds. It's amazing because when you talk about, one of the questions they got to ask all the time is this, well, what's our purpose? What are we here for? What's God called me to do? Literally, if you think about this, you know, some people, I believe in all of us, we wrestle with these questions of like, there's more. You know what I'm saying? The why. And then inside of all of us, deep down, whether you want to admit it or not, there is this aching hole in your heart that desires love and relationship and community. There's this aching hole in your heart that says out loud, there has to be more, that we gravitate to love, that we gravitate to, there's an acceptance, that we gravitate to, and we hear about this message. Now think about this. Some people might say, well, it's a Big Bang Theory and everything just happens for a reason and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Can I just tell you? I believe with all my heart you were created by our God, and the reason you have this gaping heart is because you were created to be loved and to love. You were created to know the Father's love. You were created to accept the Father's love. You have this need inside of us that we are born with to know that you are loved. I love this. If you could put that verse up there, of that first John verse, I kind of skipped over, and we can go back to this picture, but I'd love it if it's there. It says that God first loved us. God first loved us. And I love that because it says God first loved us, that we didn't go run to him and say, we love God first. I beat you to it. It says that God loved us first. And it says that he compelled. He went to the cross because his love for you compelled him to go. And one of the things I say a lot is saying, one of our values of our church is to love well. And what that means is this. You are going to love your family well. You're going to love your kids well. That we're going to do a good job of forgiving and playing and playing with dolls when we don't feel like playing with dolls and putting up, you know what I'm saying, having your daughter put, you know, fingernail polish on your hands. And we're going to love well. And we're going to do dishes when we don't feel like doing dishes. And we're going to do things. My wife and I joke about this all the time. I love it as a husband when the spouse always has a request. A request is a request. Question. Like, for instance, like, did you take out the trash today? No. Okay, so it's not really a question. It's more of a request, right? And those are the things. But I don't do dishes because I love them. I do dishes because I love my wife. I know this because my wife loves me. Can I just tell you, one of the strongest things in the world is when you just know love. It's amazing to me. I'm just going to tell you something really sweet. I can't worship team to come up here. We're going to close this thing off. And this is something that really, this is just me. I remember being at North Central. I was at a theology school, North Central Bible School. And I know I share this quite a bit, but here I was called in ministry, and I knew what God wanted me to do something. And I'll be honest with you. I just really felt like, God, how am I supposed to lead people if I don't know? Like, I know I love you, God, but I just didn't love you. And then I got to this verse in Philippians 3:10, that it says this, is that it says Paul, who is one of the greatest missionaries of our time, who went from Saul to Paul because God, he used to kill Christians. Think about that. He used to kill and hunt down Christians. And then all of a sudden, God got a hold of his life. And like I said, one of the greatest miracles happened is that God changed his heart. He went from hunting and killing Christians. Like if you knew Saul was coming to town, if you're a Christian, everybody would just scatter. And all of a sudden, God says, I'm going to use this guy who is destruction for my glory. God changed his name to Paul. He became one of the greatest missionaries ever lived. Started churches. The book of Acts is all written about it. And then in his life, he wrote this. In Philippians, he said this. He says, I count all things lost. I count all things rubbish. I count it all nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Then he says, that I may know him, that I may know Jesus in the power of his resurrection, that I may know his love, that I may be compelled by him. Can I just tell you this? We don't work up love and say, oh, it's going to pop today. I'm going to love him more. You recognize it. You recognize. Because God loves us. It creates this way that I was created to be loved. I was created with a purpose to be loved. And because of that, God loves so well that I need to love out. And so when I recognize the love of the Father, it makes me want to love even more. It doesn't put up walls, it tears down barriers. Because I'm going to tell you, here's a secret. It's one thing to say, I love my wife, I love my kids. It's another thing when my kids come up to me and say, I love you, Daddy. When my wife says, I love you, babe. It's totally the same with the Lord. It's one thing to say, I love God. Yeah, I love God. But you know what? You know what gives you strength? When you say, God loves me. And I am chosen. I am wonderfully made. God loves me. He compels to love me. Everybody stand up this morning. It's amazing because we do this. Listen, we don't do this to do church. We do this because, number one, we want to worship and glorify the Lord because he deserves it. And, listen, that God is love and he wants to change hearts. And not because he's mad and saying, your hearts need to change. Because he says in the brokenness, in the anxiety, in the depression, in the past, in the pain, you know what I'm saying, in this Saul mentality, in this hurt, in this bondage, you don't need to live there. That God says, my love will restore, and my love will bring back, and my love will bring healing. And that's what I believe. When we love well, not only do we love well, but we love well because we recognize the love of the Father towards his kids. And that's why we love. Everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. Of all the things we talked about today and cool celebrations, the most important thing you're going to hear me say all day today, that God loves you. God chose you, that you're here for such a time as this. God, that he went to the cross, his love compelled him for you. That he died on the cross for you. That love sent him there. If you hear this morning and as we close and if you're saying out loud, you're just saying, I need to, with the heart I have, I need to surrender my heart and I need to know the love of the Lord in my heart. And I need to make a decision. And it's not a start, this is not a finishing point, it's a starting point. I want to make a decision today to know that Father, to know his love, to know him, and make a decision today to follow him. No one's looking at, if that's just you, I just want you to raise your hand in this room. I just want you to raise that high just so I can see it and the prayer people can see it. I see it.